As we've been hearing, the Taoiseach is set to tell the United Nations a meeting on climate change that from next year, Ireland will ring-fence all new revenues from carbon tax to help tackle climate change. The money will be used to establish a new climate fund and provide billions of euro for the transformation of transport, electricity, buildings and food production systems. Joining me now to discuss all this are Patrick O'Donovan, Minister of State for Public Procurement, Open Government and E-Government, Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central, Fianna Fáil TD and party spokesman on climate change, Timmy Dooley, and John Sweeney is a climatologist and emeritus professor at Maynooth University. First of all, to you, Patrick O'Donovan, is it your understanding from what the Taoiseach is saying that the government has decided now to go with Fianna Fáil's model of hypothecation, where the money is collected and ring-fenced for decarbonisation measures?
Well, I think, look, Sean, today's statement by the Taoiseach is very important in the first instance, because he's only a group of a small number of leaders that have been selected by the UN to actually address this issue based on the presentation that Ireland intends to bring forward, the seriousness that we attach to it, and the commitments that we're going to give. We've already said that Budget 2020 is going to really focus on two elements. First, Brexit and the no-deal Brexit scenario that we spoke about there last week. But the second element of it, which is crucially important, given that even this weekend we've seen a ceremony in Switzerland, for instance, for the farewell to a glacier. So the government is serious about this. Richard Bruton has published an action plan. The government have committed money in Project Ireland 2040. This is Budget 2020, where we will see really the first steps emerging from what the Taoiseach is going to say in New York later on today, of where the government is committed to making sure that there's a just transition, while as well as that addressing the serious problems that were addressed in the all-party Oireachtas committee, which the government accept the report and findings of.
Timmy Dooley, Fine Gael previously said that there would be a 10 euro increase in the carbon tax, up from 20 euro per tonne in the coming budget. Now, Fianna Fáil is not prepared to go that far, is that right?
Well, no, I don't think that there was any strong commitment by the government in relation to the carbon tax. What we have said right the way back was that carbon tax needed to increase from the 20 euros that we introduced back in 2012. And that it, in recognising what John Sweeney and others have said, and John Fitzgerald of the Climate Advisory Committee, that it needed by 2030 to get to 80 euros a tonne. Now, you don't have to be a scientist to figure out that that's about 6 euros per year if you do it on a straight line graph. And we think that's the right approach. We also believe, and I'm pleased that the Taoiseach has changed his mind in where that money would be spent, and that rather than giving it back in a gimmick check to people, that it's now going to be ring-fenced and used to assist in the decarbonisation of the economy. Now, Patrick did mention there about a just transition. Well, interestingly enough, the Green Party had a just transition bill in the Dáil just the end of the week gone by, and Richard Bruton in his summation said that he would apply the money order to it effectively, that will effectively see it go nowhere. The reality is that communities will be significantly impacted through the whole process of climate change. Jobs will be under pressure and lost in certain regions, particularly where peat is extracted and where coal is burnt in the generation of electricity. And we have to invest monies in these communities to ensure that people are retrained, that alternative employment is found from them, so that we don't end up with situations like happened in the United States, where when coal and steel was finished in areas, that people were just left to fend for themselves. And we saw what that did in the election of Donald Trump, and how societies felt so far left behind by certain changes in that regard. So there's a huge job of work, and it's going to take an awful lot more than the Taoiseach being one of a small number of world leaders talking in the bubble of the UN. What we need is action at home, and I'm hopeful now that we will see a much more wholesome and fulsome approach from the government in terms of tackling climate change with action rather than words.
Okay, to come to you, Breed Smith, before I go back to the Minister, you don't agree with any increase in the carbon tax, but are you in any way encouraged by what the Taoiseach is saying about this money being ring-fenced and used to fund green incentives? I mean, what would be the problem with that?
Good morning, Sean. Just the first thing that strikes me about it is the breathtaking hypocrisy of the Taoiseach, who has, him and his party have bent over backwards for the last 2 years to block the Climate Emergency Measures Bill, which People Before Profit introduced, which would do what the students were shouting as their main slogan on the streets last Friday, which is keep it in the ground. We need to keep 80% of known fossil fuels in the ground if we have any chance of dealing with this chaos and crisis that we're facing. And yet, they've done everything to block that bill. Not only that, but we recently learned that they're about to import a huge amount of fracked gas from North America. Having banned fracking here, they're about to import massive amounts of it from North America. So all the talk of implementing an increase in carbon tax, ring-fencing it and spending it on initiatives, goes up in smoke compared to what really needs to be done. And as Greta Thunberg said, listen to the science. Listen to the scientists and stop playing around with this issue. And I think what the Taoiseach is doing, he's trying to show off in New York this morning, aren't I great, aren't I progressive, I'm doing wonderful things with this carbon tax, when in fact the things that need to be done to end the extraction of fossil fuels, to stop listening to the the lobbyists from ExxonMobil or the Chinese gas corporation who come regularly to the Dáil, stop listening to them, listen to the school students and keep it in the ground. But instead the breathtaking hypocrisy proceeds.
Okay, on that
and
point...
The last bill on just transition was mentioned, and there are several other bills that they're blocking with the money message which could help to deal with this. But the crucial thing is what we do about fossil fuel extraction.
On that point, Patrick O'Donovan, you're accused of hypocrisy there. The Taoiseach is by Breed Smith.
I wouldn't be surprised if Breed is against everything. Sure, I mean,
deal with the point she's making.
Yeah. I mean, the point that Breed makes is that, you keep it in the ground. We're 85% dependent on fossil fuels at the moment. So if you take Breed's claim to keep it in the ground, we would actually switch off the electricity in this country overnight. We're not going to do that. It would be completely and utterly irresponsible. It would also send the very end overnight, for instance, to peat extraction, and we would have a situation where the peat burning plants that we have in the Midlands, for instance, overnight would have no future. We're not going to do that. We're going to do this on an all-party consensus basis with realistic targets, not something that you can just switch off. And just in relation to, and Timmy mentioned it as well, the United Nations isn't a bubble. The United Nations are the people that have led for the last number of years a real discussion and debate on the whole area of climate change. The Taoiseach is bringing forward real and concrete proposals from an Irish government point of view as to how we want to see this addressed. And just in relation to legislation, Richard Bruton is bringing forward legislation in the new term to put the climate change action plan that the Oireachtas Committee, chaired by Hildegard Nocton, will be underpinned by legislation. So we're taking this very seriously. And as I said, at the outset, the budget for 2020 will be twofold. Brexit, and there will be situation there in relation to support that will be needed from jobs point of view, and the climate action issue as well. And again, there will be supports that will be needed. We've already seen over the last number of months, for instance, the exposure that some of the Midlands counties have to climate change. Breed's attitude would be, well, switch them off overnight. We're not going to do that.
You see, I have to address that, because what the minister has done is typical Fine Gael spin. They obviously educate their ministers very, very well on how to twist what one says, because he's just done it. Nowhere in my bill does it mention closing down Bordermona. The bill is about stopping the issuing of licences for extraction of oil and gas offshore. We have banned fracking onshore. We did not ban fracking or extraction of gas offshore. That's what the bill attempts to do, and attempts to do it in the atmosphere of a climate emergency, which the Dáil has declared, which twice the majority of the Dáil have voted for this bill, but your government continue to anti-democratically block it. And this does relate to the argument I make against carbon tax, because it means diddly squat what you do with carbon tax if you don't keep it in the ground. If carbon tax has really worked the way the establishment say they do, then why are we hurtling towards a climate crisis at a greater speed than scientists hitherto thought? If you read the papers this morning, you'll see the reports about science is allowed to get at the level of emissions rising more rapidly than we ever thought, because carbon don't actually work. All they do is serve to take more and more money from ordinary people out of their ordinary pay pack and push them against the wall. And it doesn't deal with the question of poverty. I have a woman in the office with me now whose 74-year-old mother cannot get grants from the SEIA because she is a little bit above what they call the poverty line. And Timmy Dooley especially will know, because he pushed a motion along with me to get a fuel poverty survey of the country done that really takes in a realistic way how people can afford to change their personal habits. not a piece of paper has been taken out in terms of that survey, and I've PQ'd the minister all summer. They've no intention of doing it, but it was the number three priority action of the Climate Action Committee. So where are we going with this?
Okay,
all
lots,
we're doing
lots
is hypocritical mouthpiecing, and carbon taxes, all they are is the main toolkit that the government are using. They're not saying anything else that's realistic.
I come on in a few moments to John Sweeney, a climatologist and emeritus professor at Maynooth, but I just want to go to our text line, which is really hopping this morning. If they're ring-fencing all revenues from carbon tax, are they including ring-fencing the VAT collected that is charged on that tax, asked the caller. Another one, more taxes on the less well-off to make life easier for the well-off. No chance, Minister. Another one, Sean, how much hot air is being produced in the studio? Can we bottle it? Another one saying, nobody is saying switch off overnight, but stop extracting more carbon. Timmy Dooley, is the scale of the emergency facing the planet and the world and this country not of such a scale that the kind of gradualist approach that you are proposing, €6 a year by way of an increase in the carbon tax, just isn't sufficient?
But the reality is, Sean, that you've got to transition people away. I mean, if you quadrupled the carbon tax in the morning, you know, people who drive, you know, people who use heavy goods vehicles to move product around wouldn't be able to do anything other than continue to use those fuels, because quite frankly, the alternative isn't there. What the approach that we have long talked about was showing certainty about where we're going and allowing the industry to ramp up and to provide appropriate alternatives. You just cannot shut down the generation of electricity by eliminating the burning of coal and peat today, because there isn't an alternative source of that electricity,
but nobody's
quite frankly.
Advocating that to me.
No, I know that, but I'm just responding to Sean, if I could, Breed. And that's the best approach today. What's really important, and Breed touched on it there, and she and I have been very strong on this, that that we must ensure that if there's any increase, and there will be, in the carbon tax, that the less well-off in society, those who are in, you know, on threat of fuel poverty, are supported. And in fact, the report, and we were very clear in putting the wording into the report, that no carbon tax should be levied until the architecture is there to ensure that people can get the support that's necessary
and
to warm
their homes. That means you won't be supporting the budget to me then.
Just to go back to the Minister, Patrick O'Donovan, does the Taoiseach have a figure on how much is going to be raised by the carbon tax? And is it going to be sufficient to provide, for instance, all of the extra charging points that would be needed for the 1 million electric vehicles we're going to have in the next 10 years? And also the kind of support that people will need to retrofit their homes and to improve their energy ratings?
No, Sean, because it's a budget decision. I mean, at the moment, the €20 tax that's levied at the moment, which I presume Breed is against, raises €430 million. So for argument's sake, if we were to do what Breed wants to do, which is abolish carbon tax because she believes no one needs to pay for it, €430 million straight away has to be found in the budget or has to be found elsewhere. So that's
Minister, increase. If you did what I
Sorry,
want
Breed,
to do, you'd take the
you.
Apple tax
Breed,
and
I didn't
pay
interrupt,
for it.
Breed, I didn't interrupt you, so just give me a chance. So that's €430 million that would have to be levied somewhere else. And it would be the usual where the hard left would want it done is on income tax. We're not going to do that. What we have said is that we want to put a trajectory in place over a period of time that will allow for the rising of carbon tax over a period of time and the ring fencing of that for climate changing measures. And Timmy Dooley is absolutely right. It's particularly in constituencies like my own and like Clare, where people have longer commuting distances and have a greater reliance on fossil fuels. And as I said a while ago, we've 85% dependence on fossil fuels. The reason that we've said that, you know, that we're not in favour of Breed's bill as well is we're at the end of a pipeline here from other countries, particularly in relation to natural gas. If we have any interruption in that supply, it is far better for us to have some of our own native supply that we can transition over a period of time out of, rather than just being at the end of a pipeline that can be switched off for a geopolitical reason. That's why we don't want to be in the position that we're in. And I know that Breed is against, you know, every kind of a tax, but sometimes people have to be confronted with the problem, even in the here and now. Abolishing the carbon tax that Breed Smith wants to abolish without, you know, airy-fairy suggestions, where is the €430 million that was collected last year going to come from? The answer is, it's going to come from people who work.
I'm in favour of you taking the Apple tax, but you're in favour of contesting it and have so far spent 7 million of our taxes on refusing to take 13 billion.
Okay, I just want to bring in John Sweeney now. Good morning to you, Professor Sweeney, Emeritus Professor at Maynooth. This announcement by the Taoiseach of ring-fencing the carbon tax, do you take much encouragement from it?
Well, I think, listening to the discussion so far, I mean, there are two things that come to mind to me firstly. And the first is that, you know, political infighting, I think, is missing the point of the outrage that was shown by the people around the world in connection with this problem. We face a much more radical set of issues than simply carbon tax. If we were to increase carbon tax by 20 euros a tonne, it would mean 6 cents on a litre of petrol. Now, that to me is not going to necessarily change people's habits all that radically. It's part of a panoply of measures, radical measures, which we have to face. And yes, we do have to look after fuel poverty, and I think that's very important. It's part of our obligations under the United Nations Millennium and Development Goals that we leave no one behind. And just transition is an important part of that. But I think we have to look beyond simply these measures and see the radical nature. The nature is telling us at the moment that we're on the wrong track completely. I mean, the report that is issued in conjunction with this meeting is showing that things are changing much more quickly than we thought. We're seeing, for example, the warmest 5 years on record in the past 5 years. We're seeing the sea level rise accelerating in the last 5 years. We're seeing sea ice decreasing rapidly, especially in the Antarctic. So the time for tinkering around the edges with this problem is long since passed.
Yeah, but John, one of the notable points about this summit that's happening in New York at the United Nations is that some of the big emitting countries, United States, Russia, Brazil and Japan, they're not there.
Well, in some cases, if you take the United States, if you take Saudi Arabia, these were countries which refused to welcome the United Nations science report by the IPCC at the last meeting of the parties. They have repudiated the science, and therefore, you know, they are not there, and they will eventually have to come into line with what the rest of the world wishes. It's not the case that President Trump will be an American president forever. It's not the case that Japan will be burning coal forever. And many countries which have gone through that transition are now beginning to see the benefits of a cleaner way of generating energy in the future. So I think we have to look a little beyond this particular meeting. Yes, it is true that some of the big emitters will not be there, but China will be there, and I expect China to come forth with significant pledges. I would hope Ireland would come forth with a significant pledge also in terms of increasing its contribution to the Green Climate Fund, where we're at about a tenth of the rate we should be at by comparison to countries with our GDP. I would hope that the Taoiseach would emphasise that we are moving beyond a climate laggard status, because any attempt to get on the Security Council when the rest of the world knows what you're doing wrong in terms of climate change is going to be very detrimental to that particular campaign. So I think there's a lot of things at play here, but I think we have to look beyond the short term. Our climate action plan, if it works well, gives us a 2% reduction per annum over the next couple of years. That's simply not in the ball court for what we need as a country and where we need to be playing our role as a responsible citizen internationally. Well, so we do need to do a lot more, and we need to get beyond the small issues that are sometimes being discussed politically.
We'll see where the government is going for starters just a fortnight from tomorrow, when the budget is brought forward by the Minister Pascal Donohue. We'll leave it there for now. My thanks to you, Professor John Sweeney, also to Minister Patrick O'Donovan, to Timmy Dooley and to Breed Smith. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.